Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. And I thank you for your great love to us. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your blessed Son. I'm thankful that we can grow in you. And that your word and your spirit will build us up, God, and draw us closer to you, and that you will be able to use us for your glory. We thank you and praise you for that. I pray for the lesson that's gone forth to the deaf ladies, that they would apply it to their hearts and lives, and I thank you for that. Be with each who could not be here with us tonight, and may they find a time of solace with thee. Pray for this meeting. Know, dear God, that they're missed. Father, we're thankful that our prayers are before your throne. We know that you'll answer them according to your will. And Father, help us just to be thankful for that and look to those answers for our good, for your glory. And Lord, minister to us tonight. We need that. Be with those in the nursery tonight as well. Blessed there. And I ask just for the filling of your Spirit, God, to minister the word tonight. And Father, we pray, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. So we're just going to go one more step on the outline here. And where are we at? Point two there, we saw truth protects that already. Truth works. Walking in Christ. I think we're still there. Yes. Like Christ one step at a time. We're not going to get, we'll get to settle in the faith. All right, walking in Christ. And then point B is what we're looking at, settled in the faith. So he wants us to be rooted and built up in him and grounded in this faith. We saw last week that this walk in Christ, it's a wonderful, a glorious fellowship, actually, that we have with Jesus Christ and with the Father and with other believers. The Holy Spirit within us is the divine facilitator of that fellowship. He's both the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. He wields his sword, the Word of God, and brings us into sweet communion with the Father, with his Son, and with one another. And we enjoy that as we walk through life. We talked about that some last week, how that when you invite someone to live with you, you're going to interact with them every day. And when you invite Christ to live in your heart, we interact with him every day in that fellowship. And we ought to be savoring that, amen, and enjoying that. We walk in him. We discussed last week about this walking in him is like we walk in him as we have received him. We walk in him. We spoke about that that some when we got saved, that we learned the gospel. There was a learning, and then as we learned the gospel, there was a yearning for forgiveness and to have Christ come into life. And then there was a turning that repentance of our sins, and then faith toward the Lord Jesus, repentance toward God, and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And then that's kind of the way that the Holy Spirit works through our life as a Christian. We see some place we need to be that we're not there yet in the Christian life. And there becomes, the Spirit begins to convict, and we begin to yearn for that. And what do? We call out to the Lord, just like we did to get saved, that we want this, work this in my heart, work this in my life. Bring me to this point. Help me to see this victory. And that's a continual thing in the Christian life. This growing, the Spirit bringing us to that. Galatians 4:6, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And crying, Abba, Father. And what a blessing it is to know that his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, that we are the children of God. That's a wonderful thing. So he wants us to be rooted and built up in him, verse 7. We'll look at that some. This word rooted has the idea to cause, to strike root, to strengthen with roots, to render firm, to fix, to establish, cause a person or thing to be thoroughly grounded. He wants us to be rooted in him, in Christ. Now, the word in the Greek there is in the perfect passive participle. You say, what does that mean? Well, in the perfect tense, it is the same as in the English perfect tense. It is an action that has happened in the past and is finished and doesn't need to be done again, is what it's speaking of there. We've all probably heard a great example of that is the words that Jesus uttered on the cross as he was finishing that work. He said, tetelestai, which is a term means it is finished. And that was also in that perfect passive tense, that good example. And it's done, doesn't need to be done again. It's finished completely. You are rooted in him. What he's talking about is that's done. That's actually speaking of your salvation there, rooted in him. And when you got saved, you got rooted in Christ. You're rooted in his love. And by the way, we sing the song, Saving, Keeping Love It Was That Found Me, amen? And I'm thankful for that. It's because of that that we have hope. That Jesus, he said it's finished. He bowed his head. He gave up the ghost. It was finished. And we can be thankful for that. Just one time, Hebrews 10:12. This man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And so he wants us to be rooted, rooted in him. Ephesians, Paul put it this way, in that letter, he writes, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, being rooted and grounded in love. I think we might have mentioned this last week. You see, it's that love that hangs on to us. It's that love of Christ that won't let go of us. It's that love of Christ which makes us inseparable from him. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? No. Paul goes on, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from what? From the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what hangs on to us. That's what we're rooted in. It's his love. You know, I think of that Christ lived and died and rose again. He went through all that for us. And he did that, what? Compelled by his love for us and for the Father. It was the agreement between the Godhead that the Son was the one who would come and pay this price. And so out of love for the Father, out of love for us, our Lord went through that. And a great price that was paid. I would have to say that the holy calling of the Christian would be to live and die for his glory, compelled by a love for him, wouldn't you say? You know, be ye holy, for I am holy. And we that ought to be our heart's desire. And we ought to be what? Compelled by a love for him. That is his desire. that we would love him and want to draw close to him, you know, for those reasons. wouldn't be possible to love him in this way if he hadn't sealed us with his Holy Spirit. But what does his Holy Spirit do? He sheds his the love of God abroad in our hearts, and so we can love the Lord, and we can grow and love him more and more. And this is foundational in this, you know, in growing in him. We mentioned that he says being rooted in him, and Paul phrased it as being rooted and grounded in love. We think about this. And we remember that that the scriptures tell us that faith and love, what? Are the two pillars of Christian growth. Faith and love. It's amazing. Do a study on just notice next time when you're going through the epistles how often the Apostle Paul mentions faith and love. Sometimes he uses charity instead of love. Maybe he might say another word for belief or something. But you'll find those two together often. When Paul writes those letters. Why? Well, he said in Galatians 5:6, he wrote, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." You see that? And so since Paul said that's foundational, you're going to find him mentioning that to those churches. We praise God for your faith and love, because it's foundational. You don't go forward in the Christian life without faith and love. And of course, someone has said that's what connects us to the truth. It's the faith of the Word of God. Someone has said that truth without love is too hard, and love without truth is too soft. And there's a combination there of that faith and that love. We're held in that. In John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Some have said, well, you see, we're in the Father's hand. We're in two hands. We're in the Father's hand and in Jesus' hand. No, we're only in one hand. We're in the Father's hand and in Jesus' hand. He said, "I and my Father are one." If you're in my hand, you're in my Father's hand. "He that has seen me hath" what? "Seen the Father." And another one of those things that's miraculous about the Trinity. So often we see that. How settled we are in Christ, how secure, rooted. I thought about the when Jesus was telling his disciples, his Pharisees. The Pharisees were trying to get them to, you know, think that that they needed to keep all their rules they added to the law of Moses. You know, that they're going to be spiritual and such. And Jesus would time and again show the error of their ways. In Matthew 15:12, the Bible says, "Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" Jesus' answer was, but he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. But I'll guarantee you, not one that he has planted will be rooted up. Everyone that he hasn't planted, all the ones that are fake Christians, they profess to be Christians, but they're not, they'll be rooted up. But a true Christian will never be rooted up regarding their salvation. Why? Because they're held on to by the love of Christ, by that love that's inseparable. and he did that, paid for that. On the cross. Everyone knows how many times the Bible speaks of the love of Christ. It's always past tense. Whom he loved. He so loved the church. You often find it past tense. That's because that work was so... God's always wants us to look back to that. You see? You see, when he made that vow, when you came in, when he said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," he meant that. And when he came into your heart, when he said, "I will love you," what did John write about the disciples? Having loved his own, what? He loved them unto the end. And that commitment was done. That work was done. When you received him, that payment was the payment, and now he is able to love you the way he wants to love you and me, every believer. And we're secure in that love. Sometimes there might be blessings withheld because of our sin, and God works that. That's the working out of our salvation. But indeed, we see the power of that. And it was one that just that one sacrifice. Hebrews 9 talks about that, talked about the Old Testament, you know, offerings. They had to keep offering and offering and offering and time and again, but not Christ. The Bible says, "But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." We read earlier that he was sat down at the right hand of God. You know, we think about the tabernacle that Moses put up and such, and the Holy of Holies. But we recognize that of all the furniture in the tabernacle, there was no chair. There was no place to sit. Why was that? It was because the priest's work was never done. The sacrifices were never finished. They'd give offerings for sin all year long. And then on the Day of Atonement, Aaron would have to give another offering for all the sins of Israel. And then that wasn't enough for the next year. Then the next year they still had to give offerings all year long. Each of those phases of those sacrifices showed that the other wasn't enough. When they gave sacrifices all year long for their sins, that wasn't enough. They had to have the sacrifice of the Day of Atonement. And when they had the sacrifice of a Day of Atonement, that wasn't enough. They had to still give sacrifices all year long. It showed that those sacrifices would never take away sin. That there had to come one that would take it away finally, once and for all. That's what Jesus did. He came and took that one sacrifice for sins forever. And praise God for that. And so being rooted and grounded in love, we saw in Colossians 2:2 that that our hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. You see, as we grow more in the love of Christ, it flows out of us. When we love Him, Jesus said, "Well, if you love me, keep my commandments." We draw closer to Him. We're yielding to the Spirit. We're going to have a love of the brethren. We're gonna want to see the lost saved, opportunities to witness to them, and that love flows through us, and being rooted and grounded in that love. He says, built up in Him, in verse 7 there, rooted and grounded, built up in Him. Now this term is not in the perfect tense; it's in the present tense. Which in the Greek is really a continual thing. Notice when we look at this passage here in verse 7, don't forget we are describing the walk in verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, : and then it goes on to say, explain what that is. When are we walking with Him? Every day. We are to be what? Continually walking with Him. So now the rooted thing there, because of the tense there, that shows us that was a one-time thing that happened to us. So once you got rooted, when you got saved, guess what? You're rooted today, you're rooted tomorrow, that's a done deal. The other ones are things that are a continual thing, this building up, kind of like layer upon layer, growing in our Christian life. The Bible talks about when we read this book and we pray that we are changed into the same image, what? From glory to glory, amen? A step at a time, God building us up, drawing us closer to Him, helping us yield to His Spirit. Building up to to finish the structure which the foundation has already been laid. Foundation is the rooted there. And the building up is that continuing thing that God's doing now. To give constant increase in Christian knowledge and in life conforming thereto. It's wonderful. Hey, better one verse known and done than 1,000 verses memorized and not applied. Amen. God wants us to live this book. It's to put into our lives. And that's when there's a hope that other people will see that. We'll know that joy as we're yielding to Him in that. And by the way, this build up, I noticed that the rooted and grounded, the rooted there is tied into love, but so is the built up. It's tied into love too. You see, you'll grow how do you become a stronger Christian? I'll tell you the foundation of it, by loving God more, by loving Jesus Christ more. You see, the more we love Him, the more our love grows for Him, what? The more we want to serve Him, the more we want to submit to Him. The closer we want to be to Him, the more our love for Him can grow and build up. It's foundational for being built up. And we see Jude bears witness to that. Jude verses 20 and 21. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your what? Most holy faith. There's one of the foundations. And how do we do that? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Did you get that? How do you see that? Just like you got saved, the Holy Spirit convicts you about something. Now you see you want to grow. You're yearning for that. You repent of some sin. You confess some sin, whatever, and you're praying in the Holy Ghost for God to help you to grow. Praying in the Holy Ghost. God working that in our hearts. You, beloved, Jude writes, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now listen to Jude 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I listen to J. Vernon McGee. I like to listen to his commentaries and see what he has to say. And he defined this verse as God loves us, and kind of like a father, you want to give good things to your children, but you can't always give good things, like if they're disobeying. Now discipline is needed. It comes from love, but now you've got to discipline them, and you can't. You know, give them maybe the good things you wanted to at that time. They have to go through a rough time to learn something. They have to be disciplined, and so that he kind of likened it to that. Sometimes when the sun's shining, you feel the warmth. But if you put your sin between God and it breaks your fellowship, that's like walking into the shade. You don't feel the warmth of the love. He kind of described it as that way. And I suppose that would be an acceptable way to see that. But I'll just let you know how this is just my opinion of this. This is what I get from studying this. I kind of think he's saying keep yourselves in the love of God. I think what he's saying is keep yourselves in your love for God. Keep yourselves in your love for God. You see, God's love for us doesn't change. His love for us is the same. He loves you. What about when I sin? He loves you just as much. Matter of fact, that's why He'll chasten you, because He loves you just as much. His love for us doesn't change as we're born again. We'll look into this and see how we see this. He says... keep yourselves in the love of God, and think about it this way: in your love for God. Look what he says next: looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Okay, now think about that for a moment. Hold that in your thoughts there. Now listen to what Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. You got Jude 1, 20 and 21, and then comparing 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5.
and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. What do you think that is? I think that's into your love for God. God wants you to love him. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. See that? Isn't that what Jude said? Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. What did Paul write to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:8? Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that what? Love his appearing. Love his appearing. So loving him is continually put forth as a desire to be in us when he appears. When he appears, how about you? I want to be found loving him, amen. See, the sad part, while it's wonderful that God's love for us never grows cold, unfortunately, we can't say the same thing about ours. Ours can grow cold if we're not yielding to the Spirit. And I think Paul is warning, keep yourselves in that love. Keep close to God. And we think about that, how important that is. In John 13:34, keeping that in the love of God flowing through us in our love relationship towards God. John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have loved one another. So love me as I have loved you, and love one another what? As I have loved you. Keep it going. Let the Holy Spirit flow through you in God's love. And the exhortation is, let's listen to the Spirit. Let's yield to him. Let's let that love work and flow through us. What was the admonition to the church at Ephesus in Revelation? Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Why? Because thou hast what? Left thy first love. Remember that filial love when you got saved? You were so excited when you got born again. You were a child of God. That burden was lifted. And there was that filial love. I picture a little, whenever you hear that word, I always picture a mare in the pasture, you know, a little colt running around, you know, not too old, but just big enough to run now and kick and just seems happy and having a good time. And when you got saved, that filial love toward Christ, God says, where is that? Don't forget about that. Don't forget how excited you were to know me. How excited you were to know that you could be closer to me. And don't ever forget that. Always seek that. He wants us to seek that love and to draw closer to him in that. And so I was, by the way, I was looking it up When you read the term the love of God, from studying what I'm looking at in the Greek, some of you, if you find out something different, let me know. But from what I studied, I couldn't see any difference. When you see the love of God, from what I can tell, the context has to tell you whether that's your love for God or God's love for you. You've got to bear that out in the context. I looked at the same words. They're the same words. They're in the same tenses. They're in the same forms. And the context has to bear out what he's talking about there, the love of God. And of course, so often it does. I mean, it's very clear. Many times, often it is. And this one here, I think, too, fits better. Keeping yourselves in the love of God, I think it fits better for me. That I need to be careful that I don't fall out of love rather than God. I think that context fits a little better. That's the way I look at that. And so we're grounded. We see that faith, which of course is never, faith and love are never separated from the truth of the Word of God. And so we yield to those things and God guides us and directs us through that. All righty. Let's see. I'll take you just a minute and just go through a passage in Romans just about our walk in Christian life. Look at Romans 5:1. I'll go through this quickly. Romans 5:1 and we'll be done. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What's that? Salvation. Isn't it? That's salvation. Verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What is that? That's the supply that we need for victory, isn't it? We go to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. We find grace to help in all we need. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. We may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Look at verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. What is this saying? We know that God can take care of all the trials of life, and He uses them to increase our faith and our confidence in His love. As we trust Him through trials, what do we learn? We experience how God takes care of us, amen? We experience His wisdom and His love and His power in our lives through all of those things. And then those things, what? It increases. They build this hope. We experience it, and now we're more assured that God's able to give us victory. We're more assured He's able to bring something good out of this because we've seen it do it so many times before. Look at verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So what happens? You go through these trials. Now remember, in the context of the first century, many times as they went through these trials, we're talking about the loss of goods, maybe imprisonment. We're talking about maybe people coming out on the end of these trials with less material stuff, and maybe not such great a health, that they've been beaten up and all those things. When they were talking about that kind of trials, okay? We come through those. And hope maketh not ashamed. You know, the world would look at those and say, what are you hanging on to that for? I mean, you lost your house, you're in prison, you've been beaten. That doesn't seem like a very wise faith. What's he say? Hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. No, because when God brings them through that, and though like the Apostle Paul, they may lose all materially, and they may suffer their health, they know the riches in here. Why? Because they love God more. And God's love flows to them more because they've been yielding to the Holy Spirit. And they know the riches are in here. The world may take all the outside stuff away. Those trials may rob that. But what do they experience? Wealth in here that they may not have experienced apart from that. And hope maketh not ashamed. Love of God shed in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given unto us. So thank God for that. Look what he says in verse 6. For when we without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now what's he doing? What's he doing here? We just talked about the trials, going through them. Who are we supposed to look to in life? We're supposed to consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest we be weary and faint in the way, right? We're supposed to look to Jesus. Look what he's doing. Now in Romans 6, he's looking to Jesus. Romans 6. And by the way, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Romans 6. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. There's the author. He's the one we're looking to. Remember Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In due strength, Christ died for the ungodly. There's the author. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God committed his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. You see, what encourages us in our going forth in loving him, it's remembering his love for us. It's always looking back to his love for us and drawing strength from that. God says, you haven't died resisting sin. You haven't died yet. And so he's looking back there. What a challenge. What a challenge. So looking back to that love encourages us to go on. It strengthens us in our trials and gives us, as we spend time at that throne, you know, that throne of grace, as we go there often, amen, finding strength. All that grows in us, that love. We learn the word of God. We want to yield to that. We see God working through us, building up that hope and that faith and that love. And we are becoming built up in Him, in these foundations. You know, I think about if it was the love of Christ that made Him go through. I'll say, compelled Him to go through what He went through for us. What do you think He's going to use to compel us to be the disciples we ought to be? It's going to be the love that He works in us for Him. Amen? That's what it's going to be. It's going to be that same bond. It's Him working His love out of us back toward Him. That's going to give us the strength. That's what gave Him the strength to bear what He bore for us. And He'll put that in us back towards Him to give us the strength to bear what we need to bear for Him by His Holy Spirit. That's what that love does. And that faith which works by love. Because why? That love reaches out and says, I want to obey. I want to follow. And we read the Word. And now we want to yield to it. His commandments are not grievous, remember. We want to yield to it. We want to apply it. And we find ourselves growing in the grace and knowledge of Him. And we may finish this up next week. We may go one more week, but we'll look at being settled and the ever important giving, established giving, thanksgiving in the lessons ahead. Heavenly Father, we are amazed at Jesus Christ as we read the Word time and again. We're amazed at what You have accomplished for us through Christ. And we're amazed at just the very truth that Your Holy Spirit lives inside of us, Lord, and that we have been regenerated and are continually, Lord, being changed as we look into Your Word. Lord, I pray that You would change us more and more into Your image, and that more of You would show through, dear God, more of Your love. More of Your truth, more of Your holiness, Father, more of Your compassion, more of Your forgiveness, more of Your patience, Lord, more of You. We sing the song, More About Jesus, and we need more about so that we can be more like as we apply it, Father, and we learn those things. And Father, thank You for Your never-ending and never-letting-go love that You have poured out upon us in Christ. It is because of that that we look forward to Your coming, Lord, and because we know that we're going to know You in a way then that we've not yet known. And it's been so wonderful and continues to be, Father, as we grow to know You more and more here. But Lord, when we get there, it's going to be wonderful. That our eyes might look to that our hearts might be in tune to that our lives might be preparing for that meeting is Your desire. And Lord, help it to be ours as well, and to yield more and more to Your Word by the power of Your Spirit. Father, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.